He blinked away the vision and pulled his attention back to Lili, who stood at the forecastle as she had stood at the icy crags of Chimera, playing her whistle harp and swaying with the song. The hollish sailors froze and stared across the water at the Inramir. The only movement was the sea. Then, beginning with one voice and growing to many, these words came from the hollish sailors. "I'll come to you in the winter time when the fruit of the fall is fading. I'll bring a barrel of apple wine as long as your love is waiting. But oh, the sorrow a sailor sees whenever he meets your father. He's mean as a swarm of deadly bees. He'll cut off your legs right at the knees. It does no good to beg him, please, to marry his only daughter. So I'll come to you in the spring of the year when the bud and the bloom is growing, and I'll drive an ox to plow, my dear, and furrow the field for sowing. But oh, the sorrow a sailor knows whenever he meets your father. He reeks of the sweat between his toes, the roaches gather wherever he goes, and never a man will ever propose to marry his only daughter. So I'll come to you in the summertime when the grass in the hollow is swaying. We'll nibble the grapes and clementines and look at the children playing. But oh, the sorrow a sailor weeps whenever he meets your father. He picks his nose when he's asleep. He's big as a cow and smart as a sheep. I pray the Maker my soul to keep. I love his only daughter. So I'll come to you when I'm old and gray. I'll sail from over the water. I'll lay a rose at your father's grave. Then I'll marry his only daughter." When the song was over, Lili lowered her harp and looked up at Nia. "Was that right, Mama?" "Perfect," Nia said. "Look." The hollish ships drew near, but no arrows were shot and no stones were launched. The Chimeran crewmen drew their weapons and gathered around Poto at the port rail like a wall. The hollish assault had stopped, but it would take more than a shanty to ease the tension. The Inramir had been damaged, and some of the men were wounded. "Highness," Oscar took Nia by the arm. "Highness, you and the children should take cover. If the Hollow's folk have come under the sway of Nag the Nameless, it's best they don't know the jewels are on board." "If anyone in Erwiar despises Nag, it's the people of the Green Hollows," Nia said. "My children will be quite safe."
"Oscar's right," Poto said, his eyes still trained on the approaching ships. "It's been a long 9 years. A lot can happen, even in the hollows. You should get below. Artham, you too. There's no sense trying to explain those wings of yours just yet."
After glaring at the two old men for a moment, Nia herded the children below. Artham followed with his wings folded tight, ducking behind the Chimerans and into the hold. "I felt them again," Janner said when the children had settled around the table. "The dragons, I mean."
"Me too," said Lili. Her voice trembled. "I thought they were coming again, for Grandpa."
"They were already here," Kalmar said. "Hundreds of them. They're swarming the water below the ship, and I think they've been with us the whole time." Lili grabbed Kalmar's hand.